This is Rain Hamcast number 47, voiced by Will Rogers, K5WLR, and posted August 7th, 2021, on therainreport.com, and now on the Rain Report page on youtube.com. This time we continue our look at the RFI that solar-powered systems often generate. Now, in the spirit of full disclosure, Rain's founder, Hap Holly, KC9RP, has been battling radio frequency interference from the Vivint system on the roof of his small, suburban Chicago ranch-style house. Hap was directed earlier this summer to speak with Fred Brissani, W2HZ, a retired Tucson, Arizona electrician who has found the solution to such QRM and QRN, wreaking havoc on the HF ham bands. It's called FCC Part 15. So how can you determine if that solar-powered system next door is what's making life miserable for you on 40 meters? Here's our second and final excerpt from Hap and Fred's solar discussion.
The only thing you can do to be totally certain is during the day, have your radio on at a given frequency, you hear the interference. Have somebody turn the system off momentarily for service, or you can do it with them. They've done it with me. Here they come and they turn it off for one reason or another to service it. But that's another way to really isolate the calls. But they have the total obligation. It's like a utility having an aerial line near your property. It has a leakage or a transformer mounted on a pole that is issuing all these signals as well. The utility is totally forced to handle that. For the most part, all the solar companies are very rather dishonest or ignorant or both. They do not talk about this. The consumer doesn't inquire either. When Sunrun came here and we made a deal, I told the guy, listen, if this creates interference, you are out of here because I will not let you off. I'm willing to spend a lot of money if needed to sue you if I have to. He said, don't worry about a thing. And boy, he was right. The inverter does most of the damage, but the wires leading to and from the inverters become little antennas, and they radiate. And you have all these harmonics passing through. A good example of RFI is lighting. When you see lighting, you see cases of many frequencies contained in this super whopper of energy. And this is why when we ground a radio or we ground an antenna, a tower, etc., it is distinctly called an RFI ground. Because the whole idea is you have a resistance in a wire, which is natural, described very simply by Ohm's law. You have a voltage, you have a current, and you have a resistance. However, when you add all these frequencies, that resistance turns into an impedance, which reacts to frequency values. And each frequency value mixed with this complex impedance number create many, many, many other harmonics. So the whole idea of an RF grounding is to totally neutralize the harmonics to keep them from doing any further damage, not just the energy, but it's the form in which the energy is packed. Not to be confused, a ground and an RFI ground are two different things. Essentially, you have an outlet in the house that is grounding a circuit. For instance, you have a transformer out in the pole that fits your house. You have a star-shaped network. You have three coils and a ground in the middle. So you measure the voltage between the ground and the end of a coil. It will give you 220 volts. But if you measure coil to coil, it will give you 117 volts. So that's the concept of the ground. That's a frequency also. It's set there in 60 hertz. But when you have all these frequencies together in one single quantum of energy, it creates havoc. And all these reactions occur, and they emanate all these waves and create all this noise, et cetera, et cetera. Another thing that you should consider is improving or looking at the RFI ground of your installation. Maybe that needs to be paid attention to.
My ground, it's an 8-foot copper rod that was put in the ground probably 20 years ago.
Yeah, for your station. But also the solar panel should be properly grounded. Sunrunners should do that. It's a big consideration. If they have a floating ground, that could be really awful too.
Now, there is the buzz I was talking about.
Yep, that's very typical.
Is that familiar to you, that type of?
Yes. In the streets around your neighborhood, do the energy lines, are they carried by poles?
Yes.
If you were to park your car under one of those high-powered lines that cross the highways here and there, if you have your AM radio in the car on, you'll notice the same noise. Okay, if you were to drive around on a rainy day with your AM radio on in the car, you will hear similar noises from pole to pole. Sometimes you will not hear it in all of them, but it is amazing how the energy leakage and the RFI gets generated that way.
How come it's not well known by now, the information that you have?
It is out in the open. It's just part of the voodoo information that the companies providing these services hide because the consumer is not aware that this can happen. We think a solar generation unit can be treated like an appliance when in reality is a lot more complicated than that. The panels are not really a big issue. The panels are basically putting out DC, and then this DC current is fed into a bus through the inverter and then turned into AC, and the voltage is raised. DC doesn't give you any harmonics. It doesn't have it. It's when you make the conversion of DC to AC that creates the problem. And conversely, whenever you rectify from AC to DC, the same thing occurs, but in reverse. The essence of it all is just based on how this propagates.
You're listening to a conversation between RAIN producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, and Fred Bressani, W2HZ, a retired Arizona electrician who rid himself of RFI generated by rooftop solar collectors that plagues so many hams today. This is the RAIN Hamcast number 47 for August 7th, 2021. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Classic RAIN from www.therainreport.com.
You basically have two issues with radio interference. You have QRM and QRN as in November. One is internal, the other one is external. So in the atmosphere, you have all this natural noise generated by static weather transmissions, radio activity, military, et cetera, and then you have your home-generated noises. So it all adds up. I'm a ham, and I decide to create radio interference by having a poorly designed antenna and having very high power, and I'm generating harmonics galore because I have SWR that is 10 to 1. This is the old WAN award given to a ham. That means worked all neighbors in the old days. So we don't see this anymore because all of our radio, for the most part, have automatic tuners and all these things. But let's say you are a neighbor and you are having all this interference with your television and what have you in your house. Somebody is turning your lights on and off with the radio transmissions. So you have the perfect right to call an 800 number with the FCC to rectify the problem. Well, these people are under the same essential terms of the law.
There is a bit of discouragement today and the thought that the FCC really doesn't do anything.
Well, in a way, perhaps, if it's just a domestic issue, maybe they will not take it too hard. But the point is that this is all regulated and written down properly. You cannot exceed certain levels of interference. Whenever you buy a computer, you'll see all the certificates attached because that's the nature of the beast. Let me explain one more thing. You know, after I do my test with the handheld AM radio, I come here in the shack, I turn the 40-meter band, and I turned the Yagi to point towards the panels and the inverters, and they turn and turn around, and there's no difference between one heading or the other, QRM or QRN. It is what it is. The clue to solving the problem is, legally, the inverters that you have must have an inscription or a ticket or a tag attached to each one of them, specifically saying they meet Part 15. My inverter does, and this is required by federal law, that any inverter sold must meet these standards and must have a label, just like anything else you buy in this world. If you were to get somebody to help you look at all these inverters and see if they have those tags and see what the brand name is, and then maybe they can be replaced by SMA inverters, the problem will be resolved. But they don't want to do that. My inverter was replaced a month ago. My inverter was probably priced at about $2,000. And it's the 10 kilowatt size. I'm just guessing at the prices. But more inverters for individual panels can also be bought from SMA and installed there. And they will be properly designed. The important thing is hang on to Part 15 as a key element to resolve this.
Is it better to have separate inverters as opposed to just one?
Well, it was a traditional method because it was the cheapest way to go about it. To give you an analogy, are you better off having 36 Duracell batteries to make a big battery, or is it you better off with a heavier battery? So what they did is they had the individual inverters. They're powered way down in terms of the power needed, and literally they are connected in parallel so that they feed the bus. So they keep the voltage correct, the power will flow. And that's the simpler way. This firm SMA came up with this product that has just one inverter for the whole thing, and it meets all the regulations. And the reason is this was made by a company that operates worldwide. They have quite a lot of restrictions. This is a German company. In Europe, the panels have to meet really rigid standards, and the same applies to the inverters. The panels that I have here in the house were made in Germany. They have on the side their DIN number, D-I-N, meaning Deutsche Industrie Norm. So I did benefit from the German side of the technology, which works very closely with Sunrun. Rather than getting lost with the twisted pair wires and the beads and the common current chokes, go for the inverters, because that's really what the problem is.
If someone would like to contact you, who would they write?
W2HZ@Verizon.net. W2HZ@Verizon.net.
And that's a wrap on our two excerpts from a Zoom conversation between Rains Hapali, KC9RP, and Fred Bressani, W2HZ. Rain Hamcast number 48 will post August 21st, 2021, both on the rainreport.com and the Rain Report page on YouTube. A link to the YouTube page can be found on the rainreport.com. The Rain Hamcast is produced biweekly by Rain's founder-producer Hapali, KC9RP, copyright 1985-2021, Rain, all rights reserved. Rain programming is made available under a Creative Commons license and can be transmitted over amateur radio in its entirety. Permission is hereby granted to download, share, or post this hamcast. Your input and support are welcome on the rainreport.com. YouTube Technical Assistance, Tom Shimizu. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, Very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming!